Bob Holmes here with the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. Joining me today is State Representative Ben Robbins. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Ben's a Talladega native, and he's the representative for District 33 here in the state legislature, and that includes parts of Coosa, Talladega, and Clay County. So we're going to have an exciting time talking about you being a Talladega native and then moving on into the state legislature, into that realm of politics. And then in the second half, we're going to talk about your values in terms of leadership and life. So we'll go there. So let's start out. You grew up here and born and raised here in Talladega County. How'd right. that go for you?
I think it went great. I love Talladega County. I graduated from Talladega High School in 2001. My mom's family is all from Childersburg. I live in Sylacauga now. So I feel like I've covered a lot of Talladega County my whole life.
So you're homogenizing Talladega County with the Robbins family.
Exactly. Right. I'm trying to do away with the line of demarcation of North and South Talladega County.
Good
make
deal.
A one
well,
hole.
If you squint real hard, you can't see it anyway. So it's right. good. We're all in Talladega County and proud to be in this county. So after growing up here, going to Talladega High School, college.
Right. I went to Samford University. I majored in history and political science.
Right.
And I then, at that point in my life, thought I wanted to be actually a history professor. So I went and got a master's in history, and my plan was to teach. I wanted to teach. I love research. I love studying the past and what makes us who we are today. I think that's why history is so important. But I then, I wanted to be more involved and more active in terms of creating history or creating policy. And so then I kind of deviated from that, and I moved to Washington, D.C. and worked for a little bit, and then got a job in Richard Shelby's office and worked for a short period of time, and then went to law school and started practicing law, and then ran for office.
So how'd you like D.C.?
I mean, I like the... I enjoyed it.
There's a lot of energy there, good and bad.
There is. There's a lot of the political energy.
Yeah, that's right, man. Colleen and I spent some years in Washington, D.C., and there's just something about it, whether you like it or not, there's just an energy in Washington.
So, there is, and you feel it a little bit in Montgomery when we're in session, because it's the same kind of personality, same kind of, angling what you want, trying to get results. It's that a little bit of a type A personality energy.
Yeah, good deal. So the legislatures, anything that you see that you would want to share is significant where it's making a difference? Because I'm following a lot of the legislation that you sponsor, but I want to key in on the fact that it's making a difference. Okay, or at least I think it is.
I think this session we passed some legislation that is generational, will make a difference in generations. So the big thing is that we are phasing out the grocery tax, which to me will be instrumental in providing families with more disposable income, allowing them to spend more money in other areas, save more money. Because I've always kept the view that we shouldn't tax people on their basic necessities. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stop taxing on the state side on milk, bread, anything that is a WIC item will no longer will be phased out in taxation.
Now, but a local municipality or a county could still tax, but there won't be a state tax. Is that
correct? Yeah. However, we put a cap and a limit, so they can't backfill. You have to have already been taxing as of today. You couldn't just all of a sudden say, oh, well, the state's not taxing, so I'm just going to bump my tax rate up. We're freezing that. So municipalities won't be able to raise their grocery tax.
So you put a gate in there.
Correct. We said we're eliminating the state and we're going to freeze where you are.
Good. Okay. Good for the people, right?
I think it's very good for the people.
Yeah. I mean, particularly as we get into a very tight economy, and I don't want to get into all the national politics of everything, but, food is something that we need to make sure our families and our communities have got access to the food they need without being penalized.
So. Right, we do. And especially with inflation. Yeah. And that just makes the tax higher.
Yeah, it does, for sure. So any other things that you see?
Well, I mean, I think
this coming down the road.
To me, us passing the grocery tax was vital.
Right.
I think we passed some. We did some other tax cuts. One thing that we did that I'm very excited about is that. So now we will no longer tax an individual on their overtime pay. So if you are a hourly employee and you work 40 plus hours, when you get time and a half, that's free money to you. We won't tax it. So the whole point is that's for hardworking individuals that live in your communities are going to get more money in their pockets, and it's a way to give a tax cut to those people that are out there working.
So it's making a difference.
Right. Yeah, so the person in Sylacauga that works time and a half is going to have more money to then spend in Sylacauga.
Right. So economic growth here in Talladega County.
We have a lot of things happening, and I think I think we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, well, we can do that right now.
But I think Earth is going to be very instrumental in pushing and driving economic growth in Talladega County.
Right. So for the folks who may not know, Earth is the East Alabama Rural Innovation and Training Hub. You've probably heard about it over the last couple of years. And so with that, it's going to be a game changer, in a sense, for economic development and workforce development, don't you think?
I think game changer is, I mean, I can't even think of the word to describe it.
Right.
Game changer is, I mean, it's the best word I can think of. But I'm sure anyone that's driven by Avondale Mills has seen the work that's been done just in cleaning it up. But
right.
That's just the initial phase is cleaning it up. The next phase will be building Earth, which is kind of like what Mr. Holmes said, is that it's East Alabama. So it's based for the East Alabama region. It's based on a rural economy for innovation, which would be helping entrepreneurs create and start businesses, startups, and then a training hub to help with workforce development for our existing businesses and our incoming businesses.
Right.
So what it will do is help our workforce. It'll help us have a better trained quality workforce for the industries that we already have, and it will help us as a recruiting tool for new industries to come. And I know that I have already talked to industries about what Earth would be if they were to locate to Talladega County.
Right.
And what we could provide them in the future.
And in talking with Ms. Margaret Morton at the Sylacauga Alliance for Family Enhancement, she's one of the leading advocates and proponents and energies, if you will. She's got a lot of energy.
Right.
Behind the Earth. And so we've talked to her about that, and it's exciting.
Right. It's very exciting. And we've gotten a big commitment in the last legislative session in the budget to go towards Earth from the state in terms of construction and development.
Great.
And we've got some money from the county commission. And so we are moving along, and we are raising our capital stack, which means, it's not a pie in the sky. It is going to happen, and it's going to be transformational for people of Talladega County, right, for the children that haven't been born yet.
Well, one thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, one thing that I think is very important for us to understand is that this will set a national, I don't think there's anything else like this in terms of innovation in a rural area. Now, I may be wrong, but this could be a national milestone for rural communities.
I believe it is. It is. I mean, traditionally, the way we've focused on economic growth in this region, in this country, in the state, is you basically build an industrial park and then you just hope until someone comes. What we're saying is we're good at A, B, C, and D, and we could be better at, X, Y, Z.
Right.
We're going to focus on that, and we're going to grow from ourselves up. We'll add 5 jobs here, 10 jobs here. We'll grow, and we'll be a diverse economy, and we will show the country what we can do in a rural economy and how it can grow. And then that model that we create would be scalable around the state, around the country, because nowhere in the country do you have innovation and training together,
right,
and especially in a rural community.
Exactly.
And so there'll be cross-pollination between what people are trying to do and create businesses with the training space and the ag space. I mean, everything is going to be together, working together.
So in talking about, I use that term, we're going to give us a homogenized view of economic development, community development, and workforce development. And this is going to come together in this innovation and training hub so that we focus on, one, developing our our commerce, our industry, but also developing young people with skills to be part of that. And I, and to me, what I see is now a way, because, you know, we talk about the young folks who grow up here in Talladega County and then they leave to go elsewhere. And if, as this comes together and builds, in my mind, an enterprise, if you will, to develop industry, commerce, and the workforce, it's going to bring more jobs, more technical requirements for jobs here, where a lot of young people will want to stay here. And also, we may see the influx of young people who see what's going on and come in.
I definitely think so. I mean, the state, we are suffering from a brain drain. I mean, what happens is people from our communities are going to the Birminghams, and the Birminghams are going to the Austin, Texas, and the Charlotte, North Carolinas. And so we're every time we lose someone, that's an entrepreneur we might lose that could have hired a few people. That's a business idea that would create tax revenue and opportunity. So we need to keep them in within the state of Alabama, but specifically within our rural communities that have stagnant or slowing economies.
Right. Okay, so in this first half of our Bull Gap Journal interview with Ben Robbins, we've talked about him being a Talladega native and then getting into the world of politics with the state legislature and the great things that are going on there. And then we talked about the Earth, the innovation and training hub that's going to be a reality here in the Sylacauga area, but it's going to service the whole county. So Ben, thanks. We'll be back. And as we come back, we're going to talk to Ben about things that he sees in terms of values for leaders, values for communities, and the importance that values play. Thanks a lot, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. We're talking to Ben Robbins, State Representative for District 33. In the first segment, we talked to Ben about growing up here in Talladega County and some of the great things that he's experienced here as a Talladega County native and now a resident of Sylacauga, as well as some exciting things that are going on in the Alabama State Legislature. In this segment, Ben, we're gonna dig down into more of Ben Robbins, the person. You know, I want to talk to you about values and what you see as important, particularly as a leader, as a community leader, as a leader in our state legislature. So if you look out there, what in your mind is the most important value attribute that you would see and aspire to see in a leader?
That's a very good question. You know, trying to narrow that down to one, I would think that humility to me is very important.
Humility.
Is a very important characteristic or quality or value, however you want to describe it. Yes, to be a leader, you do have to step up and you have to say, I can do X. But you have to be humble in knowing that you're really just serving a role within a larger team.
That's right.
You're not on an island. You're not rowing the boat yourself. You're just maybe telling everyone to row when they row, but you're rowing along with them. To me, that's the most important quality.
It's humility. Okay.
Right.
You know, I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis and his definition of humility. And let me think for a minute to make sure I get it right. I'm going to preface this by saying sometimes we misunderstand humility, I think. And Lewis defined it pretty well in my mind to say humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's a thinking more of others, you know, so that you put others first, that you're not a doormat, but you want to give to them so that they're better.
Right. And I think, exactly. And I think he talked about that, you know, you're not, quote unquote, just meek, you said, as a doormat that's walked over.
Right.
You were saying here are opportunities for you, and here are ways we can work together and serve.
And so a good leader is able to serve those that that she or he leads through humility. So it's a great value attribute.
Right. Yeah. I think it's one that you almost have to have, because part of being a leader is you have to see what talents and skills others have and how
Right.
You don't necessarily get to choose the hand that you're playing with. Have to see what the hand is, and then you play on those strengths.
Exactly.
And sometimes that is being a vocal leader. Sometimes it's just you being part of the deck because someone else might be better at this skill right when it's needed, and you need to step back.
That's an excellent point, for sure. For me, it's like I want to find somebody who can really do this better than me.
Right.
And let them run with it, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, that's here again, that's the humility piece of being a good leader, in that you recognize that talent and you want to push it forward. So.
Right. And I mean, what is I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's, you know, the gist of it is, if no one's willing to take the credit, great things, you know, can be accomplished.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact quote, but as long as you're not saying I've got to be the one to getting all the credit for.
Right.
What happened?
Right.
The things that can be accomplished are amazing because everyone's working together as a team and moving forward, as opposed to saying, well, I've got to be on the, you know, this has to be named after me, or I've got to do this. Yeah. I've got to get the recognition.
Right. Yeah. So to your point, you know, in team building and leading, I'd hate to have a team full of Bobs because it would be a mess.
Right.
So let's shift gears just a minute and talk about leader vision, because the things that I've heard you say, particularly in the first segment, some of the recent legislation that's impacting and good for our communities. Tell me what you think about leader vision.
I think that having a vision and having a goal is why you are a leader. You know, personally, I know that from all of, even with Leadership Sylacauga or any other of the personality tests that, you know, you take that say what kind of, whatever scoring it is, I always score very high on the vision part, but not as high on the task, the small part, you know, and so right. I understand, going back, tying the two together, that I need people around me that are better at making sure that all the nuts and bolts saying, here's where we need to be, but how do we get there?
Right.
And I think that you have to have that as a leader. I mean, if you get in a car and you just start driving, you don't know where you're going. You have to have a vision and a plan on where you're going.
Right.
And it's getting a team together to help you say, we need to get from point A to point B. And if it's Earth with, how do we grow our economy, or how do we provide opportunities? You then get people together to figure out where you need to be and how do you do it. Well, then how do you do that? And you've got to plan how to get from point A to point B. And there's a lot of steps along the way.
And the leader has to set that vision. That's for sure. And I mean, to me, I think, you know, we've talked about leadership before, even going back a couple of years in Leadership Sylacauga, and you know personally, I'm a big vision guy, in that a leader has to set vision for the team, for the organization. So
And I think that having vision is also inspiring.
Yep,
I mean, I think that if I'm going to go do a job, whatever that job might be, it's, if you are inspired that you are part of something bigger, then you're more willing and more excited about doing it. And you typically do a better job.
Right.
Because you're part of something that is bigger. And if you're not inspired by a vision, then why would you go do the task that you've been tasked with performing?
And the inspiration that the leader has from that vision then goes out to the team, goes out to the organization, so that it inspires the team as well. So
right. I agree. Cause you're not just, as the leader, going back to the whole humility team, you're not saying, well, I believe in myself, I can make this happen. Right. You're saying, I believe in us. We can do this. And then you are, whether you're the leader, the cog, whatever part of the team, you're part of this vision. You're part of it.
So the vision helps you know where you fit.
Right.
So good. All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. You said you were a student of history. So if you look back as figures in your history, either a figure that we may all know or one that personally you know, who set a path for vision and humility? Who would come to your mind?
I mean, there's so many. I mean, whether it's in American history, if we want to go through American history, I mean, it's our world history. I mean, I think that, obviously you could start with the founding fathers and you could say George Washington. I mean, no example of humility is greater than him to say that, to step away as president after two terms when, King George said at that time, he said, well, no man has ever, Julius Caesar couldn't do it. Napoleon couldn't do it. How can someone walk away from what could be absolute power? But he saw that he, as we keep saying, he was a leader, but he was part of a larger team and he wasn't the system itself.
Right.
And was able to step away. And that's after, leading the armies, everything that he'd done up to that point. But I think he set the course for where our nation is today by having that ability to say, I am not an absolute authority.
Yeah. No, I think Washington is perfect. I mean, really, that's what a lesson in history and a lesson in humanity and a lesson in leadership.
Right. Because, I mean, that like King George said, that is, I mean, if we use Napoleon or Julius Caesar's example, the idea of continuing to grow and absorb power.
Right.
It can be a toxic trait, and you can continue to grow, and it's an addiction that almost cannot be stopped.
It is toxic, and it can be an addiction. Mm-hmm. You're right. And again, I'm not going to take us down that road of, of politics, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. Tell us, in terms of experience or a life lesson, what would you want to pass on to a young Talladega County, Sylacauga, young person as they would set a course in their life?
I would say always be inquisitive and ready to work. I mean, I think that if you are inquisitive and asking questions and wanting to know how you can do better, how wherever you work, wherever you're a part of could be better, and how can I help that happen, it will benefit you. It will benefit the company you work for. It will allow you to learn more about how the process works and whatever you're a part of. But always be asking, how can whatever I'm doing be done better, and how can I be better? And be willing to do the work that it takes to do that.
Good deal. Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for joining us. This has been great. We're going to have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I mean, you're a busy guy, but I'd love to get you back in here, in a few more months, and we'll talk about some of the great things that that we see going on in our community and in the state. Thanks for joining us on the Bull Gap Journal. We've been talking to Ben Robbins, Alabama Legislature for District or Representative for District 33. Ben, again, thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us today and listening in. The Bull Gap Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense.